Well, today, we're going to take a break. We're not going to be talking about Next Level Faith, even though we could probably very easily tie this whole thing into Next Level Faith. But I've asked Pastor TJ and Pastor Justin to join me today in light of the things that have happened this week in Minnesota, Louisiana, and Dallas, and other places around the country. I see a nation divided, and I see the church divided. I see a lot of things happening, and I think today we need to have time to discuss some of these current events. How do they relate to us as men and women, and especially as Christians, and what can the body of Christ do? How can we leave here and bring healing and not bring division? And I will tell you today that we had invited one of our staff sergeants to be here locally, and he had committed to being here today to be a part of this panel discussion today as well. But he texted me at the last minute today and got called in to have to cover for somebody, and he actually worked all night long, was going to be here, then he had to stay over, he had to cover somebody else's shift, so he couldn't be here. But before we even get started today, can we honor today and let all the men and women in blue who protect and serve our county, our towns, our four-state area, our country, and let them know that how much we love and support all the men and women who are giving down their life and giving their self to serve our community and lay down their life for us. Can we let them know and honor them today? That we are with them. Come on. Today, we're gonna have some good discussion, and it may be uncomfortable for some to have this discussion. But I believe far too long that the body of Christ we bury our head in the sand, and we don't tackle some of the tough issues that we need to be leading. Who should be leading during this time? It should be us. The body of Christ should be leading on healing, reconciliation, and learning what it means to love your brother and your sister, and learn what it means to have open and honest discussion about what's happening. And today, I just want to do that. I've asked these guys to join me. I've asked them to share personally from the heart. I told them that I can't think of two other guys that I'd rather have this conversation with that I know would speak honestly from their heart, yet do it with integrity and with wisdom. And I really appreciate you guys being open today to come up here. This is not an easy thing to stand before a predominantly white audience today and to share some of the things that we have to share and say and as well. But I believe that this church is called to be a church of reconciliation. We're called to be a church of integration. We're called to be a church that represents the body of Christ. And if we can't understand what's going on, and we can't walk in the shoes of the law enforcement who are in our community, if we can't walk in the shoes of people who are hurting our community, how can we minister one to another? How can we pray one for another? How can we relate one to another if we don't have these tough conversations, if we don't address things and look things differently and look from one another and say, what is it I can do, and take personal responsibility? And so today, I'm going to ask these guys to share, and we all know the things. If you didn't know, you can ask somebody and they'll fill you in later. Where have you been this week if you don't know what's going on? I actually have one person that said, I had to get filled in because I haven't watched TV in over 30 years. And so, yeah, you can guess that. But anyway, today, a lot going on, and given the events that have happened this week in Louisiana and Dallas and in Minnesota, I just want you guys to be very candid and openly honest and tell us, as black African-American men here and today, especially young and barely hanging on to young, the door to middle age is right there, Justin. It's kind of squeaking. Not fully open, but it's right there. As fathers, we get to say that finally to Pastor TJ in the panel discussion. A father, yes, he's a father. And as fathers as well, and being young black men, and how does this make you feel today, the things that are going on? Tell us some of the thought process and some of the emotions you're dealing with, because we need to know, we need to understand where you're coming from and what you're dealing with. Justin, why don't you go ahead?
Okay, so first off, I love all of you. I love you. I was raised to love police officers, to respect the job that they do, to honor them. And, you know, that's something that we've talked about consistently in this church, is honoring honoring anybody, no matter what they do, but we were raised to honor police officers. And so it's hard to really put into words, because like you go through this cycle of, oh my gosh, what just happened? What am I reading? And then there's the anger that sets in, and it's like, wow, how could this happen? What circumstances have to happen in order for all of this to happen? And then there's the frustration, even though I'm a African-American male, and, you know, I move inside of a circle that is multi-ethnic, there are still points and there are still times where I can see that so many of people like me feel disenfranchised and like second-class citizens. Like the hashtag Black Lives Matter, it's not saying that black lives are more precious than any other body, than any other's lives. It's basically saying, hey, look at me. I feel persecuted. Please stop. Just stop and look at me. See me for a person. It's not something to say that, you know, African Americans are any more superior than anybody else. But think about your kid. If your kid is constantly getting picked on or feels like they're being picked on by an older sibling, they're going to come to you and they're going to say, Mom, Dad, hey, see what's happening to me? I matter. Look at me. And so, you know, especially as a father of two sons, man, it weirds me out. And I'll admit it. It weirds me out when I'm driving and I know that I'm following every ordinance, traffic ordinance that there is to follow. Hands on the wheel, 10 and 2, going to speed limit. I have my registration and everything with me, but if a cop pulls in behind me, my hands tighten and they sweat. And honestly, I hate that I have that reaction, but that's where I am. And that's what I deal with. And so we're talking to our son because he's watching some of the coverage with us because we don't feel that it's right to shield him from it. And so we're explaining to him that, you know, television is going to show the bad stuff or the unfortunate incidents that a few cops are involved in, but it's not going to show the 99% of the awesome things that our law enforcement officers do. So we have to make the conscious decision, no matter what color we are, to love people. And so Caleb looks up at us and he says, you know, Dad, my two best friends are Skylar and Alex, and they don't look like me, but I love them. And, you know, to me, that just really drove home the point that it's all about love.
Right.
Yeah, for me, being a young black man, young, let's put that out there, much younger than these two up here. Amen. Amen. But I can't lie. If we can be candid and honest with you, and we don't mean to make you guys uncomfortable, but we want to just share our hearts with you. Just have to be honest, you know, the events that happened this week, it did make us fearful. You know, nothing to the thing of, it's just like, I will echo what Pastor Justin said. I'll be honest with you, I'm in my car a lot for work, and I drive a lot, drive to different cities and things like that. And I tightened up as well. And it was just one of those things where it's kind of like, I know I'm doing everything right, you know, I'm scared because of what I saw on the news, you know. And I know we don't know everything, we don't know all the details, and I agree with you, I understand that. At the same time, for us to see somebody that looks like me, a young gentleman, have their life taken away like that, and especially with, you know, having a 4-month-old baby girl, I'm just like, I want to make certain that I do everything possibly right, that I don't have to go through that. And so basically what this talk about today is not for you to jump on the Black Lives Matter bandwagon. It is just for you guys to understand our hearts and see, you know, that we are real. We're human. We have feelings as well. I said first service earlier, you know, we're going to say it, you know, the right way and from our hearts and from our spirits. But, you know, when it first immediately happened, I'll speak for myself. I don't know about you, but I wasn't speaking from the spirit at all. I'm just gonna tell y'all that now. I was very not happy. I was upset because it seems like, I said this earlier this week, it seems like we just celebrated the 4th of July and freedom and independence, and it felt like we reverted back 50 years. And just from our hearts, for you to know that it does make us a little scared and a little nervous. And so that's kind of how we feel, and a little angry, if we want to be honest. But that's kind of how we feel.
Right, and I appreciate you guys being very open and honest about the true feelings that you have. And for anybody not to, how can we better talk about healing, supporting my brothers in Christ, if I can't understand from the pain they're coming from and the fear that maybe is there? You know, if I was here, I want to make sure I represent the law enforcement as well. And, you know, we know today that so many of them sign up to give their life and to protect us. And so many of them have done that and have died in the line of duty protecting and serving. But let's be real for them as well. They know that more officers die in routine traffic stops than any officers die in anything else. And so that's the fear they face, that, you know, every time they do it, pull someone over for a traffic stop, that's the greatest chance of them dying could happen during that time as well. So they're on edge. They're on edge. And with everybody filming nowadays, any mistake can be filmed, broadcast to the world. You know, I am very much in favor of body cams for every police officer. If that is ever put to a vote or whatever, we need to back that 1,000%. Every police officer by the public that works for the public should be equipped with a body camera to help protect them and protect us as well. And I believe that very, very much. Just a little side note there. You don't have anything to do, but I want you to know, I believe we need to do everything we can to protect them and to protect society as well. But I know that so many of them, you know, 98, 99% of them are very good people and good-hearted people, and are not in this because they took it because the pay or the great hours. They took it because they believe in the cause of serving and giving their life up. And so many of them, and how does this affect them? How does this affect them when you have a bad apple out there representing them all over the media, and it's not the true heart of what they have? And then to see retaliation in Dallas that happened, where people are being sniped off and killed, I mean, the fear they have to live in as well. And so we got to be sensitive to both sides, and we got to be sensitive to both sides and realize what's happening. But I like what Jesus said in Luke chapter 4. Look at this. Jesus had just came off of a fast. He's just been fasting, preparing himself for public ministry. He'd been tempted by the devil, and he comes in. He goes right to the synagogue, and he gets up to read the scripture, and he begins to read the scripture, prophesying about himself. Remember this? He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, and recover sight to the blind, to set liberty those who are oppressed, and proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." I believe at the heart of what Jesus was saying is, I'm not here just to minister to the people that are in this building right here. But I'm also here to minister to the ones that can't afford to be here. I'm not here just to minister to those that are already been and through the Torah and to the teaching and the training and the Christian education and have had been here. I'm also here for those that have been brokenhearted, those held captive. And society today, I believe, what would Jesus say? As Christians, what would Jesus want us to react and how us to react and to say? And the bottom line is this: if my brothers are hurting, and then I have got to acknowledge that they are hurting, and say, if they're hurting, I must come alongside them and walk with them. I must come alongside them and acknowledge that they're hurting. And not be a part of the problem by saying, "Go, just get over it." No, I need to come along beside them. Find out from where the pain is coming from. Find out where the fear is at. And have open and honest dialogue about how we can be agents of healing and unity and reconciliation. I need to come alongside my men and women in blue, who are law enforcement, and say, how can we come alongside you and support you better in the community and help bring a support and honor back to the men and women who are giving their lives serving us every day in this country? It's a tough question we got to have. It's a tough question we got to address. But let me say something very clearly today. And some people may not like what I'm going to say. It's okay. I'm not afraid to tackle some tough issues. But I'm going to tell you anyway. There's something wrong today that when I get pulled over, that my first thing in my mind, what I'm thinking is, how am I going to talk myself out of this ticket? And when my brothers get pulled over, the first thing in their mind is, how do I go home to my family tonight? It's a big thing, a big difference. And we can't bury our head in the sand and say, that fear isn't real. And that thought isn't real. And how can we come along beside our law enforcement and come alongside our other friends who are hurting in fear and say, how can we bring unity? How can we help? There needs to be better education of our young people and teach them how to honor and how to respect and how to address. If you're addressed by a police officer, how to honor, keep your hands up on the wheel, and how to honor and how to say yes, sir, and no, sir, and yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, and do as we're told and not fight back and go back and talk back. We need to teach them that. Yes, that's very true. But the bottom line is, if there's a greater chance I have to tell that to the young men over here of African American versus my young guys that are driving, there's something wrong. And we can't ignore that. And I got to be able to stand up and say, that's not right. That's not right. I support the men and women in blue fully. And I want to do everything I can to make sure they are honored and supported and protected and given what they need. But I also support my brothers and sisters who are hurting. It's okay to support both. It's okay to say, you know what, there's some issues we need to talk through. There's some things we need to have some honest dialogue. And far too long, the church has let their head be buried in the sand or we're either part of the problem by making stupid comments on Facebook or social media like, get over it. What would Jesus say? Jesus said, who's brokenhearted? I'm here.
Yes.
Who's mourning and fearful? I am here. Jesus would come alongside and say, yes, Black Lives Matter. And so do Hispanic lives and white lives and the men and women in blue who are serving. Their lives matter. I said this illustration today that, you know, our children, and I was thinking about all of my kids, and I was thinking back to a time when my son Hayden was playing a game a couple of years ago in football, and he broke his arm. And his coach waved me over as soon as it happened. He said, come here. He was panicked. I knew it was not going to be good. And I got there, and his arm had came completely out of socket and was just dangling there without being in socket. And you know how gross that is. And the fear as a parent when you see your kid ever broke a bone like that, you know it's crazy. So I scooped him up in my arms. I took off running as fast as I could up the hill, over the track, and up the hill and into the car, huffing and puffing, man. But I got him to the emergency room and tried to get him sedated as much as possible, get him out of pain as quick as possible. They did surgery on him, put pins in him, got him back into place, got him home. And you know, I thought about that. I thought, you know, I have five kids. I wonder if any time do the other four feel like the dad loves him more than he loves me? No. It's just that he was in pain and needed my attention. And I believe that's where the Father is today. He loves us all the same. We know that. He died for every one of us. There's neither Jew or Gentile. There's neither black or white or Hispanic or Asian. That we're all together. We're the family of God. God's love died for every one of us. But when somebody is hurting, I believe he's here. And he wants to wrap his arms around and say, man, I feel your pain. I feel you. And when people are hurting and grieving the loss of fellow brothers who have given their life in the line of duty, he wants to wrap their arms around them and say, I love you and I feel your pain. When people are mourning, that's what Jesus does. He steps up and we are to be God's agent and step up and say, you know what? How can I be more sensitive in ministering to my brother and sister who are hurting, whether it be in law enforcement, whether they be from the African-American community, whether they be from the Hispanic community. It doesn't make a difference. We should be stepping up and leading and say, how would Jesus want me to react to the situation? I want you guys to weigh in. I've been talking a lot. Go right ahead.
Well, something that I think about a lot is, and you mentioned this, is that just because I grieve for the African-American men who lost their lives and their families doesn't mean that I can't grieve for the cops who lost their lives, too. They're not mutually exclusive. Matter of fact, if I'm a Christian, then I have to grieve for both equally because God is grieving for both equally. But our society is so damaged. It's so split. I mean, you can't get on Facebook or social media and not see people saying liberals can't be Christians and conservatives can't be Christians. Then who can be a Christian? Or you hear all of these things about, you know, black people want this, white people want this. And then, you know, people talking about Fox News is biased to this and CNN is biased to this. And, I mean, here's my opinion on this. If we're taking our truth from the media and from social media, then there's something wrong.
Amen.
Because no matter what you watch, it's only giving you part of the story that they want to give you to get you riled up.
Right.
And so then what happens is we see Christians get on social media and we begin typing up stuff without thinking who it's going to affect. And then we wonder why our posts and our statuses become such firestorms of emotions. Yes. Because we're split and we're divided and we're not looking at things out of love. Because everything that we're seeing through the eyes of fear. Maybe we were born with it. Maybe we were raised with it. Maybe it came as a traumatic experience in our lives. But there's so much fear out there these days. And, man, these news media that are coming into our news streams, they're feeding that fear. And as that fear continues to rise and rise, Satan is taking that and he's wreaking havoc. Not just in the world, in the church. Mm-hmm. In the church where we're supposed to be leading society. We're letting society lead us. But the Bible says perfect love casts out all fear. So what would happen if I saw what CNN told me, but I filtered it through what would Jesus see? Or how does Jesus feel about this? Or if I got on social media and I said, what would Jesus type? Might be a whole different story.
I'm going to preach, brother.
All right.
It's true. It's a hard, you know, topic, because I was talking to my wife about it last night in preparation for it. You know, we've got to look at it through the eyes of Christ. And, you know, what's happening is, you know, if you are, let me just be blunt and honest. If you're on the side of the two young black men that died, that passed away, and you are more upset for that than you are the cops, you're wrong.
Right.
And if you're more upset and more riled up that the cops were taken than you are the two young black men, you're wrong. You want to know why? Because Jesus loves them all.
Right.
He loves each and every one of us. And for us to take a side, like Justin said, we are in the wrong. But let's tackle this social media thing while we're talking about it, because it's just pushing my buttons. I can't even get on, you know, over these past few days, because all I continue to see is another hate status and another hate status and another hate status. Then somebody's getting on there. Yeah, you're right. This is wrong. This is wrong. This is how we need to do it. The cops were messed up. The black people messed up, blah, 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 all this good stuff. And nobody is stepping back, taking their emotions out of it and looking at themselves in the mirror and saying, hold on, what's wrong with me? Because what is happening with this problem, this issue that is happening in our country that is not hidden, like Pastor Gene said, it is there, whether you want to believe it or not, is we have a heart issue. And people have these things rooted deeply in their hearts that nobody can see, because we're walking around and we're putting on this smile, this front. But behind closed doors, you may be saying something else. You may be doing something else. And that's, I don't care if you're black, white, Hispanic, whatever. That could be anything. And we've got this thing deep rooted in our hearts. And what is happening is it's coming out of our mouths before we are checking it and asking, Holy Spirit, I need you to help me. What am I supposed to say? But we think because we have feelings and emotions that we have the right to say whatever we can say. And that's wrong. And I know that's a hard thing. I know that's like, well, who are you telling me what to do? I'm just saying what the word of Christ says. It says we should be slow to speak, you know, and we should listen. Pastor Justin was saying about it in the first service, is so often before we even read a message of somebody's putting on social media or actually listening to what somebody is saying, we've already responded before they're even finished. And it's because we have been so trained that we have to get our opinion out there. We have to say it. We've got to be better. We got to do this. We got to do that. What is wrong with sitting back and stepping back and listening and saying, all right, Holy Spirit, help me respond to this situation.
Right. Yes, sir.
To even piggyback on what Pastor TJ was saying, and it was in the first service, and we're worshiping, and the Holy Spirit just prompted me like minutes before we were coming up here to do this in first service. And he said, okay, so you're saying it's a heart issue. Okay, so let's check your heart. Because if one of those police officers who were in one of those incidents came into Destiny Church this morning, would you go over and hug them and say, welcome to Destiny Church, and tell them about my love? Because if you wouldn't, that's an issue on you. And Pastor TJ put a video out this week talking about, you know, prayer, and we pray for things, but how often do we pray for ourselves? God, show me who I really am. Show me who I really am. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if we're saying stuff, even if we're joking, because like we all, come on, y'all, we all have stuff that we say in the privacy of our homes that if people heard us say it in public, they would label us something horrible. But if we're saying stuff in the privacy of our own home that we wouldn't say to a different group of people when they're right there in front of us, that's a us issue.
Right. That's good stuff.
That's our perspective issue. Love cannot overcome fear as long as we're harboring even the stuff that we were born with that we thought was okay, but now we know better, but we still do it. Love cannot abide there. Love can't take root there. Love shrivels up and dies there. Because we're placing love in, we're essentially placing love in a box where it can't get any air or any sunshine or any water. Because we're reserving that love only for those people who are like us, because we think that they're the only ones who deserve our love.
You know, I shared this in the first service. I'm going to ask this question to you guys. How many today have ever watched TV and you see the media portray and they interview somebody from the Christian community and you watch them and go, why did they pick them? Raise your favor, just drives you crazy when they pick the most ignorant people to represent the Christian community. Someone who has no idea what it really means to be a Christian is on there mouthing off, spouting off stuff that doesn't have anything to do with Christianity, you know, and I know you guys are in agreement with me. It bothers me. I'm like, why does the media always pick that person to represent us and speak? And remember that, because some of you here, you base your views off of the media. And for instance, I'm sure there's a lot of times the African-American community, if they're being very honest, would say the same thing. When they have a big rally and a peaceful march, they'll pick the one craziest person to interview and to say something, you know, hide your wives, hide your kids, hide your husband. They're taking everybody up in this place. I mean, they're going to pick the most craziest person to represent
time
them.
For that.
Time for that. They're going to pick the craziest person to get the attention. And I guarantee you that 98% of the black community is saying, why did they pick that person? Oh, my God. I don't feel that way. They don't represent us. And we will take and base our opinion and go, those people are just crazy. That's what's happening. People are just crazy when they spout off like that. Remember, that's just somebody the media's got. And just like you don't like it when they represent you bad, the same things happen to them. And when a police officer is put on media and on social media and one bad cop, we see things that are happening, of violence and things that wouldn't handle the right way. We can't label all the, I'm sure that all the other cops are thinking, man, we go in day after day doing the right thing, putting our life on the line every day after day after day, sacrificing, giving ourselves for our town, for our community, putting ourselves on the line, and yet one bad apple out there gets on the social media and makes us all look bad. You see how we jump on that and see how it can taint our views. We see how it can make us become more prejudiced than we even think or even realize. And today, if we who are Christians are going to carry the Spirit of Christ, we've got to learn to tackle the tough conversations and do it in the spirit of love. This is what we're doing today. We're having tough conversation in the spirit of love. We're addressing issues in the spirit of love and saying, how can we better understand each other? How can I minister to my brothers who are hurting if I can't hear their heart without saying, oh, you're overreacting. You're overreacting. If that's my view, then I can never minister to them. I've got to learn where their place of pain is coming from so that I can have be sympathetic and also be a part of the conversation for healing. This is what takes place. This is why the church has got to rise up and be the leader in talking through some of these tough issues and be the leader in saying, let's be a part of the healing solution and not be a part of the dividing problem. It's enough. We've got to be a part of bringing healing. And it starts with the things we do on social media, the things we like, the comments we make. And I always pray, Holy Spirit, if I say this, how's it going to look to those who aren't saved? How's it going to look to the friends who are offended at this and who are really hurting with this? Is this going to bring healing? Is this going to bring a laugh? Or is it going to really bring something that's going to, man, is it going to bring some hurt and bring out some heart issues and someone take this the wrong way? We've got to ask ourselves that question. We need to be sensitive to that. How can we in the community, how can we be better sensitive to those who have been hurt and living in fear? What's some ideas? We talked a little bit about it. Give me some more ideas. How some ways we can do this in a healthy way?
You know, just in this particular regard, you know, just like Pastor Gene's been saying all day long, don't just push it under the rug and act like nothing's there. You know, let's not continue to act like, you know, things are not happening in our world, in our country, and it's not real. Or like you said, you know, just saying get over it, or oh, it's fine, or whatever. Or, you know, we have this thing right now. I'm gonna go ahead and say it. I didn't say this first service. We have this thing right now where there's this fight on social media. Black lives matter. No, all lives matter. No, black lives matter. No, all. Let me tell you right now, black lives matter, white lives matter, Hispanic lives matter. Every life matters to Jesus Christ, okay? Amen. So let's just set that. Yeah, Amen. Y'all can give a hand clap for that. Let's just set that straight right now, because every single life matters. And but at the same time, it doesn't matter what race or background or whatever is going through something. If we can just learn to listen, number one, before we respond or speak or just throw something back because you've already got your mind made up, how about we sit back and actually listen to what someone is actually saying and then respond in a way that Jesus would actually, you know, respond and just continue to look at each other. You know, I mean, I know you guys have the utmost love and respect and adoration for myself and Pastor Justin, you know, because we're up here and leading and stuff like that. But the person who's out there just walking the street is the same person, you know, that we are. God loves that person the same that we are. So just because we're up here, it's like, oh, well, they're different. You know, they're the praise and worship leaders. They're the pastors. They preach. They're different. No, our life matters as much to God as theirs does as well.
That's right. That's right.
I think that, I guess, first of all, this conversation that we're having today, it's important that it doesn't just end like right now when we dismiss after we do our last song. It needs to be a conversation that we have in our homes with our kids. It needs to be a conversation that we invite people over to discuss. Like after the first service, Pastor TJ and I had the awesome time to just share with someone in our congregation who was just kind of like, you know, I just really didn't know. I really didn't know. And when we really listen to understand one another, that makes the biggest difference in the world. I couldn't be a police officer. I don't have the temperament for it. And so I admire the work that they do. And, you know, I couldn't be in the situations that they find themselves in on a daily basis. And so just for that one reason alone, I give them all of the honor and all of the respect, and I refuse to let a few bad apples spoil the entirety of that force in my eyes, because I believe they're made up of honorable men and women who really want to protect and serve, but they also have to enforce the law. But we've got to talk. We've got to talk. I mean, Destiny Church, we are probably one of the most mixed congregations of people in this area. Praise God.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, that's a good thing right there. I mean, yeah. That's good. Yes.
But along with that, that gives us an awesome responsibility. We can't hide from this. We can't hide from it. We can't let society lead the conversation. We have to lead the conversation. We, Destiny Church, we have to lead this thing. If we want to see anything change, it starts with you, and it starts with me, and it starts with us together saying that we're stopping this, we're cutting it off right now. Satan, you have no power. Spirit of oppression, you've got to go. We're going to be healed. We're a healed congregation, so healed people will heal people.
Amen. Amen. So good, guys. Yes. So what should our response be? Our response should be to the African-American community who's hurting. We should be able to say, you know what? I want to understand your place of fear, your place of pain. How can we walk in unity together and see change made, positive change made in our community? Our response should be to the men and women in blue who are hurting, who are worried about getting sniped off, who are worried about getting shot when they pull someone over. Yeah. Our response should be to them, we got your back.
Amen.
We want to support you and lift you up in prayer. We want to come along beside you and teach our children what it means to honor you and do a good, better job in the community of raising your value and not just be out letting one person, one incident or one bad apple ruin the way we talk about all of those who are serving and giving their life for us.
Yeah.
This is my challenge to you this week. I want you to, if you see some men and women who are serving our community, serving in uniform, who are working in law enforcement, any area of law enforcement, whether it be highway patrol, county or state, city, that you go and you say, hey, can I pray with you? Just simply ask them if you can pray for them and put your hand on their shoulder if they'll allow you to, and we'll just take time. So I just want to pray for you if they'll allow you to. And just take a second to pray a prayer of protection and blessing over them. Let them know that you care. And thank them for their service and thank them and honor them. If you're out eating lunch or dinner somewhere and you see them walk in to eat lunch or dinner, if you're able to afford it, say, you know what? I want to buy their meal today and let them know how much I love them, appreciate them, and honor them. Pick up their tab if you can that day and say, hey, your meal's on us. We appreciate you. How about some moms today where kids are out this summer that you bake some brownies or cookies and take them down to your local police station and drop them off and say, hey, we just want to drop these off for the guys here, the women here, and let you guys know that we appreciate you serving, and we're behind you. We got your back. How about we create a culture of honor and minister to the people who are hurting? And when we see our brothers and sisters who are hurting, that we have honest conversations and listen from a place of trying to understand and be agents of healing and quit being agents of division.
Yes.
It's time for the church and the body of Christ to rise up, stand for injustice, and stand behind those who are law protecting us and putting their life on the line, and let's walk hand in hand, arm in arm with our brothers and sisters, and say it is time for the Spirit of God of unity to reign in this place, and we're going to be agents of that. Yes. It's time for us to do that. Yes. I'm going to ask our musicians to come. I want to read you this last scripture as they come. A familiar scripture that we all know in Ephesians 6. It says, "For our fight is not against flesh and blood." We don't wrestle against each other. See, our fight is not against each other. Our fight is against what? It says, but also we wrestle against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. We have to intercede. We have to be agents of healing. We have to be willing to stand in the gap and say, we're going to fight this thing on our knees. We're going to fight it in worship. We're going to fight it in prayer. We're going to fight it in unity. And it's just not enough to say you're praying on Facebook. We got to pray. We got to make it a prayer of heart. We got to call out for our brothers and sisters who are hurting. We got to call out for our men and women in blue who are trying to serve in fear and trying to lay their life down to us. We need to come against spirits of division, racial divide, and speak love. And we need to speak unity and healing over our communities. We need to pray that honor be restored to the men and women who are serving our counties and communities. And who's supposed to lead that way? It's us, the church. I got an amen from the speaker right there. Stand on your feet this morning. I want you to join hands across this auditorium. Let's reach across the aisle. Let's just join hands today.
The devil don't like unity.
That's right. You don't like what's going on there. It's all right. This is what's going to happen today. We're going to lead out in prayer. I'm going to ask Pastor Justin to lead out in the prayer for our African-American community who's hurting and maybe is walking in fear, that you would just allow healing to come and allow healing to come to the hearts of them. I'm going to ask Pastor TJ to pray over our country, that healing would come to our country and God would bring healing across the board, a racial divide, and healing to our country. And I'm going to pray over the men and women who are serving in law enforcement in our area. And so Pastor Justin, I want you to start the prayer.
Heavenly Father, right now in the name of Jesus, we love you. And God, we're so thankful, God, that we can have a candid conversation here in a house of worship, God, among people out of different backgrounds, God. God, I pray right now, Lord God, for freedom. God, I pray right now, God, that the bounds of generational slavery, God, and mental slavery, Lord God, and societal slavery, God, would be broken right now by your anointing, Lord God. Because your word says, God, that your anointing destroys the yoke. And so right now, God, as your Holy Spirit is here, God, I just pray that right now in the name of Jesus, God, that the yoke of oppression, God, would be broken right now in the name of Jesus, God. That the yoke, God, of the perspective, God, of any kind of second class or disenfranchisement would be broken in the name of Jesus, God. I pray right now, God, that the yoke of separation would be broken right now in the name of Jesus, God. Lord, we recognize that you didn't put us here on this earth to dwell alone, but to depend on one another, Lord God. And so, God, I pray, Lord, that borders would be open, God, that walls would be torn down, God, and that as one people, God, we could be united, Lord God, yes, understanding, yes, God, that you love all of us, God,
yes,
and that our destiny as a nation, our destiny as a people, lies in you. And so, God, I just pray right now, God, for those who are hurting, God, Lord, for those who've lost husbands and fathers, God, and sons, Lord God. God, I pray that your peace would be so real in those households right now, Lord God. And God, we pray, Lord God, that the fear, God, that wants to grip us, God, that it would leave in the name of Jesus and never return. God, that instead, God, we would be filled with honor, God, that we would be filled with reverence for you, God. Lord, to just honor and love, God, for everyone and everything that you've created. In the name of Jesus, we pray.
Yes.
I thank you today, God, for the men and women who serve in our local law enforcement office, God. Lord, we pray for those who are mourning and hurting as they've lost fellow brothers this week, God, and have been faced at the hands of snipers of pure evil. God, I pray to God for those families that are hurting and mourning the loss of a father, of a brother, of a dad, of a son, of a husband. God, I pray that you would comfort their hearts today, Lord. Be with them. God, we pray, Lord, that the communities across America will rise up and join hands with our law enforcement and say, let's be a part of a solution. Let's be a part of support, and let's see change take place. I pray that, Father, you would allow those who have an evil heart to be exposed, and they would be removed from those departments. And, God, you allow more men and more women of integrity to lead and follow the front. God, they can be leaders and agents of change. God, we as a church reach up and support them, God, with our prayers, and with our words of affirmation, God, with our words of letting them know that we're behind them, supporting them, and thanking them for their gift of service every day to our community. God, we pray blessing and protection over all of those men and women today in Jesus' name.
Now, Father, I pray for this great country, this great nation of the United States of America. And God, I pray, Lord, that God, as I hear in my spirit, united we stand and divided we fall. Lord, I pray for a spirit of unity, God, to be released throughout each city, throughout each state, and throughout this entire country, God. God, I pray, Lord, that we can link our hands together as we are here, God, in this auditorium. And you can say, this is my brother, this is my sister, and whatever you may need, I am here for you. God, I'm calling on the church of America to stand up and to raise a standard and say, we are going to lead this charge, and we are going to say, no more any longer, yes, in the name of Jesus. And now lastly, I speak to the evil spirit of racism, of oppression, of people going against one another. Devil, we know that is you. We know that you want to bring us against each other. But right now, by the power and the authority of Jesus Christ, we break your spiritual hold, and we say we will be free to be a country that is united, that is free, that is together. And God, I pray that the enemy will no longer be able to infiltrate us, God, in our homes and in our spirits, God, in what we are saying and what is coming out of our hearts and out of our mouths, God, and even on our social media accounts. God, let us step back and say, Holy Spirit, help us speak to those hurting. Help us speak to those that are broken, God, and let us come together like never before, God. And as I look over this auditorium, Lord, I pray that this be what this country will look like, God. Red, yellow, black, and white standing together, holding hands and saying, we are each other's keeper, and we will call on the name of Jesus like never before. Jesus, we need you in this country. We need you in this nation. We need you in this world. And we know, God, that we've pushed you aside. But God, we're asking you to bring us back to our knees, bring us back to our faces, God, and call on you. Let our prayers not just be a hashtag anymore, God, but let us open up our mouths and say, Jesus, we need you in this country. We thank you, we praise you, and we bless you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Come on, let's give God a shout of praise in this place. If you believe it, hallelujah.
That's what I want you to do. We're going to sing this song today. If you want to come to the front, you're more than welcome. We're going to sing a song that says, Sons and Daughters of the King. How many know we are brothers and sisters in Christ? But most importantly, we belong to the same Father. His name is Jesus. We are sons and daughters of the King. Let's lift up our heads. Let's lift up our voices and declare it in the Spirit today.
Sons and daughters of the King. Oh,
raise our hands one more time. Father, we thank you, Lord, for spirits of healing and unity. God, we pray, may the body of Christ rise to show your love, to show your grace, to show your forgiveness, God, that we can love each other in spite of our differences, in spite of what we may not understand. I pray that, Father, we would be agents of healing, that we would be agents of bringing, Father, injustice to light. We would be agents, Father, of allowing healing to flow through the love that Jesus Christ has done inside of us. Father, may we be quick to love, slow to speak, quick to love. And God, I pray today that, God, you would use us, God, that this would not be the end of this conversation, but God, it would be the beginning of something you're doing inside of us from the inside out. And God, we pray and we speak blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come on, put your hands together one more time. Let's bless the Lord. You guys, did you guys enjoy this conversation today? Wasn't this good? Man, such a needed today. Thank you so much for being here. You guys have a great, great afternoon. God bless you.